This is Food for Faith, and I'm Father John O'Connor. It's the Feast of the Annunciation today, the turning point in all human history. Well, the title of this reflection might seem a little strange for the Feast of the Annunciation, Breaking and Entering, but I think it's apt, and here's why. A couple of thousand years ago, a young Jewish woman was going about her normal morning routines, perhaps with a mixture of house and garden work, chatting with parents and neighbours, aware of the issues that were local, the drought maybe, the sickness of a neighbour. Maybe she was annoyed by the neighbourhood's lack of sleep caused by the Romans' noisy party the night before, when God broke into her routine and entered her life in a new and powerful way. Mary heard the greeting, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." I'm happy that Mary's immediate response to this greeting was to be troubled, because if an angel broke in on my morning routine, I'd be a bit shaken too. In that moment, Mary would not have understood what was happening to her. She would have thought, maybe, is that a knock at the door? Is there a burglar at the window? Or one of those drunk Romans is on his way home from the party? That's why the messenger reacted immediately to Mary's fear with, "Do not be afraid, Mary." And Mary at that moment would have realized that she had no reason to fear, because she had already found favor with God. And she knew that she lived a life with a deep desire to know what God was wanting of her and for her. So if you ever sense that God might be trying to break into your life, simply hear that message. Do not be afraid. You have nothing to fear. If this is God, you have nothing to fear. Note that these words, "do not be afraid," are the same words as addressed directly from Jesus to Mary Magdalene on the morning of the resurrection at the tomb. It's important to note that Mary did not need to discern whether or not she would do the will of God once she knew what it was. However, she did need some time, a few moments, to perhaps stutter a question or two in order to decide if it was really God who was speaking to her. But once she understood that it was God who was doing the asking, then there was only one response, and that was, "Yes, let it be done to me." There's a great novel that I read a few years ago called The Sparrow by Mary Doria Russell. Even without the context of the whole book and the story, this single quotation makes complete sense. It's a bit of a wake-up call for all of us. Here's the quote. "Faced with the divine, people took refuge in the banal, as though answering a cosmic multiple-choice question. If you saw a burning bush, what would you do? Would you A, call 911, B, get the hot dogs, or C, recognize God?" A vanishingly small number of people would recognize God. That's the end of the quote from Mary Doria Russell. Because Mary already sought to live with openness to God's call to her, she was able, at least after the original shock of finding an angel in her kitchen, to recognize God. But as Russell suggests, we struggle to recognize God. Perhaps this is because we like to keep God within our control, and we might prefer a society that is secular and post-Christian, where God doesn't make these demands on us. And so we are slow to name God as God. And we're just as slow to name good as good. And we are hesitant to name the devil as the devil, just as we are to name evil as evil. The consequence of this inability to name things for what they are is that everything becomes just whatever we want it to be, depending on the context. What is in fact objectively good might commonly be considered to be bad, and what is in reality an evil can be named helpful, depending on the rudderless subjective views of the majority. And you might have noticed in that little quote above about good and evil and the devil, you might have noticed there that there's only one difference, one letter difference between the name God and good. And there's only one letter difference between the name devil and the word evil. But there is a world of difference between good and evil, and an eternal chasm between God and the devil. It's not enough to satisfy our souls with lists of what is good and what is evil. This might be understandable and acceptable in one who, like the foreigner arriving in a new city, consults the road map for every direction at every turn. But if after a few months we are still totally dependent on the map, our journeys will be exhausting. We'll miss the beauty of the conversation and company in the car, and we'll miss the beauty of the scenery that surrounds us on our drive. With her encounter with the angel, Mary's life becomes an adult adventure of mature faith. To conclude this reflection, let's skip to the end of the Gospel passage. The angel tells Mary that her elderly cousin Elizabeth is also expecting a child, and then there's that wonderful punchline for the passage. Nothing is impossible for God. Nothing is impossible for God. Here's an invitation for your day. Take a few moments to ask Jesus directly how he is trying to break into your life today. Don't think too hard about this. You'll pretty quickly get a sense, and his answer may surprise you. So take a few moments to ask Jesus directly how he is trying to break into your life today. You might also like to take as your mantra for the day that sentence, nothing is impossible for God. And repeat it to yourself often, nothing is impossible for God. Whenever you think of a situation in your life today that's difficult, a person who is struggling, or when your own anxiety threatens to overpower you, simply repeat several times, slowly and gently, nothing is impossible for God.